It may be cold in the weather, but we're burning in spirit. Yes, I really appreciate you driving all the way from Boston. Right. Well, in this few meetings, we have about how many meetings now? 10? We have 10 meetings. We're going to share concerning the first couple of chapters in Genesis. Because I feel that we have to see these chapters again in a different light. God's word is not that simple. There's a lot of wonderful mysteries hidden in God's heart. And so when we come to the Word of God, it's not just a matter of doctrine or teaching something about the Bible, but we really need to touch the mystery that is hidden in God's heart. Otherwise, you can just learn something general about the Bible. Oh, Christ came, he's a savior, he died for you. You believe in him, you'll be saved, go to heaven. This is generally what a lot of people believe, right? But it is much, much more complicated than what traditional Christianity would have taught us. And I hope that right in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, the book of Genesis, God did not waste any time to reveal to us the problem in this universe. Right? Many people say, well, Genesis chapter 1 is a chapter concerning God's creation. In a way, it's true. But if it's a chapter in God's creation, it is too short. It's too short. Well, then God must not have too much to say about his creation in a few verses. Actually, the only verse that talks about God's creation really is chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is actually, if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, this is the only verse that really talk about God's creation, believe it or not. You may think, oh, what about the 6 days? Well, this is something else. So, if you turn right now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a very simple verse, because it is not necessary for God to prove that he made the heavens and the earth. The whole universe is a proof in itself, right? Look at this whole creation. It's so wonderful. Look at yourself. Look at the human beings. Look at all the created things. So beautiful. So wonderful. The book of Romans says, the whole creation expressed the power of God. Right? It expresses everything of God, God's wisdom. Look at Canada. It's a beautiful country. The whole nation, the whole country is a piece of art. So beautiful. Right? So God's creation really expresses God's glory, God's power, God's wisdom. You can see so many things there. You know, it's really surprising. If you're a nature lover, all kinds of plants, flowers, colors, fragrance, shape. Sometimes I'm really surprised how God can think of different kinds of amazing shape of flowers. So beautiful. And yet people don't believe that there is a God. If I tell you that that clock is not created by anybody, would you believe me? Would you believe it? The Greek won't believe anything like that, right? Right? You won't believe anything like that. And it's a very simple thing. Right. What about this building? If I tell you, nobody created, nobody built this building, nobody designed it, would you believe it? What about your shoes? What about this? What about the clothes you wear? The pen you're using? The book that you held in your hand? Everything that you have is created by somebody and designed by somebody. Don't you think so? And it's so simple. What about this wonderful universe? You believe nobody designed it? What about these beautiful flying birds? What about the American eagle? What about a Canadian bear? You don't think anybody designed that? This is nonsense. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 14. The fools said in their heart, there is no God. Only fool will say there is no God. But the point is this, if there is a God, then you better know him. You better find out who this God is. Yeah. You cannot say there is no God. Right? Everything. What about the cars running? Who made the cars? Nobody. Nobody. You're kidding me? If I say, Jenny, nobody made the cars. It just, after 10,000 years, woo, something came big. Would you believe me? Huh? What would you think of me? A fool. He's a fool. Look at yourself. Wonderful human being. The most beautiful among God's creation. And the Bible tells us man is created according to God's image and likeness. Can you improve yourself? There's nothing to improve. Oh, how many eyes do you want to have? Three eyes? People say there's another eye here. You'll become a monster if you have another eye here. People will run away from you. Will think you're strange. What about having two noses, one below and one here? How about that? How about three mouths? Why are you so perfect?
?没有神吗?没有神会有你啊,那么漂亮。 那么聪明的，是，对不对，弟兄啊？ There is the living God.
So the Bible didn't have to prove anything, because you are the proof that there is God. So there's only one verse in the Bible that talks about creation. In the beginning, God created. That's it. Believe it or not, God created the heavens and the earth. You better believe it is God who made the heavens and the earth. Now, so it's not about creation. That God created everything. Oh, there's so many things to prove. And the way God created is not like you and I creating something. No, God spoke it and it came. He is God. Otherwise, he is not God. Okay? But then come the important thing. And the earth was what? Chaos. Became tohu bohu. Now, you need to realize this. The Hebrew word for without form and void was not the earth was, but the words the earth became. You can translate this verb in two ways. It was or it became. Just like Lot's wife. Was Lot's wife a pillar of salt in the beginning? No? What happened to her? She looked back and became. She was not, but she became. And the verb is exactly the same here. The earth, you think God would create something without a form? Would you do that? You're an engineer, you're a computer scientist. You write program, would you just write any kind of a strange program without form? No. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that. And nobody's going to buy you or hire you. I mean, your program, right? Whatever you do must make sense. You think God would create chaos? No. So immediately after the creation here, God did not waste time to tell us something happened to this earth. 出事了，有事情，重要的事情发生了，这个地成为混沌，乱了。So this is very important for us to see tonight. Why? Because immediately God want to let us know that there was a problem that happened. We don't know how long ago there was a problem. And that problem was the rebellion of the archangel. Because in the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he appointed the archangel to rule over this earth. That's why, remember, in the New Testament, God called Satan what? The prince of this world, the ruler of this world. Even Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Satan is called as the god of this world. Yeah. So, you have to ask, when did Satan, when was he appointed the prince of this world? When? In the 6 days, nothing was mentioned about God creating the angels. Did it mention? What day? First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth, sixth? Which day? Day zero? Nothing was mentioned about that. Why? Because it was in the very beginning. We don't know which beginning it was. But it was in the pre-Adamic creation. It was when the first time this earth came into existence. Then after, I don't know how long a period of time, Satan or the archangel rebelled against God. You can see that. Not tonight, we don't need to go into it, but definitely you can see it in Isaiah chapter 14. You can read it. Right? And you can read it in Ezekiel chapter, I think it was what? 28. Huh? 28. That's right. Now, put it in here, right? Yes. You can read it yourself. Something happened. Something happened. Now, in this rebellion, the whole earth sided at that time with the archangel, right, to rebel against God. So, what happened was judgment. So judgment came. And the earth became chaotic. And it says here, darkness was on the face of the deep. Darkness is not good. In the Bible, darkness is never good. 黑暗就进来了。那圣经里面呢，黑暗是一个不好的字。你看人今天是那么黑暗的，不黑暗吗？杀人、骗人、偷人、抢人，不管别人，不管你死你活。 只要我赚钱就好了, my goodness, so much trouble in this whole world today. So much darkness. Right? So, and the Bible calls this the authority of darkness, the power of darkness. So this whole universe had a problem. And God's plan here is to recover this earth and to recover his kingdom. Now, this is where the word kingdom will come into being. Because of the rebellion, everything was in shambles. Yeah. You have to realize, look at the world today. Look at the world today. Look at Europe today. Look at Greece today. Look at Syria today. Ukraine today. Look at Egypt today. Look at Bangkok. Look at so many places. It's just in darkness. In darkness. I don't know if Toronto is better or not. Look at your mayor, right? I read a lot about your mayor. Oh, my goodness. Right? Right? What about religion? What about us Christians? Don't you think we Christians have no darkness? Oh, yeah, you'll be surprised. You read the history of the churches, you can see so much darkness. So, what is God's purpose and will? You say, oh, just to save us. Save us for what? Are you saved? Okay, save for what? Save, you're saved, okay, save. Save from going to hell, and then after that, what are you going to do after you're saved? Come to the meeting every Sunday, sit there and listen to a pastor. Is that why you're saved? Why God saved you? I'm not a pastor. I'm just, I don't mean I'm no pastor. No. Not according to that system, no. But you have to be impressed. The reason why God saves us is for a wonderful, great purpose. It is to gain back the kingdom, to take it out of Satan's usurping hand, and to recover this earth for God's kingdom to come. You have to be impressed with that. Now, Satan would like everybody to go to heaven, and he keeps the earth. Yeah, why not? You think this earth is not nice, or why do you want to live on this earth? Why don't you go to the moon? Why don't you migrate to Mars? Would you like to do that? Why don't you go to move to Boston? You move to the moon. There's so much space there. You move from Athens to Boston. Why don't you just move from Athens to the moon? You're right. There's no place like the earth. This earth is wonderful. That's why the Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. What? You sure? What would you prefer to inherit? Heaven or the earth? What is God's promise to you? Isn't it better if the Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit heaven? How about that? Suppose God would give you a choice. What would you choose? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because in the heavens there's no problem. The problem is right here on this earth. And the way God is going to recover his kingdom is not by his power, but by us. That's why God made man. And that is why Satan wants to corrupt humanity. You have to know this. You have to realize this. This is why salvation today is very important. To save us out of the hands of God's enemies, that we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, and to be for God's purpose today. This is the important thing. Right? So right Here in the very beginning in Genesis 1, God didn't waste any time immediately in verse 2 to tell you there is a problem, Mo. And I want you to know what a problem is. And the way God is going to recover the problem and to gain back the kingdom is to create man who is for him, fully one with him. This is God's purpose. Not for you to be a Bible scholar. This is important. This is why in this weekend, in this outline, we talk about the goal and the spiritual principles of God's work. Right. So, actually, in all of these wonderful verses here, in a very brief way and in a hidden way, in a sense, it is in a hidden way, the Bible shows us that this universe, it is framed by the Word of God. The word frame means designed. Everything is structured. Everything is planned in God's wisdom. That's why in John chapter 1, 1 to 4, all things were created by Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. Praise the Lord. Right? And here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we know that this world was framed by the Word of God. So if you want to create this thing, you need to firstly plan it. The plan, and then you build up the frame, and then you build up this whole building here. Everything was planned, right? Even if you are an artist, you want to have a painting, you need to have really a design, knowing what you want to paint. Then you start to paint. You can just, well, okay, let your hand just go like this. And then out come a wonderful painting, just like that of Michelangelo. It's not going to happen. Definitely not, right? So everything was designed by God. A wonderful design. You really need to see, wow, this is a wonderful world. This earth is a beautiful planet. Wonderfully created. In Job 38, when God made this world and this earth and laid a foundation, just the foundation, and measured everything, all the angels were rejoicing and rejoicing. Really, praising God. You think if God created a chaotic mass there, the angels would say, what is our master doing? Well, what is he creating? You know, for the sake of some of the newer ones, let's turn to Job chapter 38. We have here, right? And God was asking Job, where were you when I laid a foundation, the foundations of the earth? Job 38 verse 4. Right. You know, if people don't believe God created, I said, of course you don't believe because you were not there. Where were you? Is the question. Where were you? You were not even born yet. So how would you know, right? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. No one had the understanding. You need revelation. Who determined its measurements? My, even the earth was measured. The mass of this earth was measured. You know, I'm not a mathematician, neither am I an astrophysicist. But the mass is very important in its speed, in its rotation. The mass is very important. Yeah. Right? E equals mc squared. Right? So you have that. Just by that equation, how big the earth is, it's very important to to make the time exact in the rotation, in a movement, etc. It has to be. If it's twice the size, you need to make another watch. Huh?
Yeah, we'll be closer to the sun too, probably.
And then everything will be burned up because of the gravitational force. It'll just change everything. Oh, goodness. So, somebody measured it, right? Who did? You? Einstein? Zweistein? Who did it? You know, we take it for granted. But you have to realize that it was measured. By whom? By whom? Who do you think measured it? The archangel? God measured it because God said it. Tell me, who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Job was saying, I don't know anything. Oh, who stretched the line upon it? Who did it? And to what were its foundations fastened? Right? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars, meaning to say the angels, sang together, and all the sons of God, the angelic beings, shouted for joy. They were just praising God. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 doesn't make sense if it is God creating the earth like that. It's a massive confusion. So when God created it, it was beautiful. But then remember, something happened. Lucifer, that angel of light, turned into darkness. The light went out. And he fell, and he became the devil, the adversary, the slanderer. He became Satan. Yeah. So that is where all the authority and power of darkness came into being. So there was judgment. There was judgment. And it says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Deep. It is also not a good word. The word deep here in Hebrew, it's the same as the word abyss. Just a bottomless pit. You know where the bottomless pit is? That's where all the demons were locked up. Deep. That's not a good word. Darkness was not a good word. Tohu bohu. Without form, void, darkness, deep. You think it was good words? These are just the description of a terrible situation that happened. This is what happened. Right. But then, praise the Lord, something good happened. Because after, I don't know how long a time, the Spirit of God was again brooding, hovering over the face of the water. And that water is the judgment water, like at the time of Noah. Because in the ancient days, God's judgment was through water. Only after Noah's time, God promised not to destroy anymore. By flood, by water. Otherwise, it's not good to have flood and so much rain again. Anyway, so we don't know what happened. I'm just going to write it down here to give you an impression. Right. This is the beginning here. Let's put down here the beginning. This is the beginning, wonderful beginning. The beginning is always wonderful. Beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And during this time, what should I use? Okay. God used the archangel, A.A. Archangel was ruling over God set him to rule. Then, for some period of time, we don't know when, he fell. He fell. And the whole earth here, this is the earth here fell with him. And when the earth fell, you can see the word tohu bohu. I will just write TB. Okay. It's a tohu bohu. It's a Greek, not a Greek, it's a Hebrew word signifying a chaotic condition after judgment. After judgment. Like Lebanon, it was a beautiful place. But after war, it became a tohu bohu. So the German adapted this word sometimes. So if it's in chaos, there was a tohu bohu. This is what happened, right? And then number two, you have what? Darkness. My goodness, darkness came in. Darkness. And then number three, you have the deep. You have the abyss. There came in the abyss. And then number four, you have the waters, the waters there, right? The flooding, the waters. So, and then this shows us it was God's judgment came in. This is judgment. Judgment came in. Oh Lord, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. So, from thence on, you have here the power of darkness was there. The power of darkness. Terrible. You need to see this picture. Then, praise the Lord, after this happened, you have the Spirit of God coming in. The Spirit of God coming in, hovering over the dead waters. The word hovering here means brooding. Brooding. Just like a hen brooding over the eggs. Brooding. Brooding. Why? You have to believe that God's wisdom was really wonderful. He wants to show us that His recovering work is something of life. Whatever God is doing must be something that is living, full of life. Can you imagine in Canada, in Toronto, there's no life? Everything is dead. No moving things, no trees, no green, no birds, no fish, no human being. Is it nice? Will it be a nice place? Would you be living alone in Toronto with a dead place? You wouldn't. You know, whatever man created and did has no life. Man can do everything but not create life. What is more wonderful, an airplane or a little bird? What do you think? What is more wonderful? A Boeing 747 or a wonderful American bald eagle? One is big and dead. The other one is wonderful and living. Right? Man cannot even make a mosquito. He can make a wonderful big airplane, but he cannot even make a mosquito. Whatever man made is never alive. It moves, but it's dead. It's by engine and motor and boom, boom, boom. Right. But God is different. When God came in to recover the earth, it was full of life. That is why in these 6 days of recreation, it was full of life. All kinds of life were brought forth. So living. But look at our Christian work today. Is it full of life or is it dead? You tell me. Quite dead. You go to the meeting, you sit there. You go home, you just... Somebody told me, I've been to so many meetings for so many years, I received nothing. I said, oh my goodness. And what do you do in a meeting? I was half asleep. Half asleep? I might as well sleep at home. More comfortable. But your religious nature just tells you to go there. But that's just a religious nature. You have to realize whatever God does must be full of life. If it's dead, it is not God's work. Satan, he has the power of death. Right? Hebrews chapter 2, God destroyed him who has the power of death, which is Satan. But the Lord is the Lord of life. He's the Prince of life. So whatever he does is living. It has to be living. If it's not living, forget it. Yeah. 是不是? Would you like to live in a cemetery? Hey, it's free, not that expensive. How about just buy a property there and live there? Huh? Would you like to live there? Why not? It's so cheap. Huh? Why not? Because that's not the land of the living. That's the land of the dead. You have to make it so clear. The church, is it living or is it dead? God's kingdom, is it living or is it dead? You have to realize this. That's why this little word, God's, the Spirit of God, and in the whole Bible, it is the Spirit that gives, you sure? Gives knowledge, gives theology, gives science. What does the Spirit give? It gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. And Paul says the ministry of the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit because the Spirit gives life. And we, the believers, must be full of life. So right in the very beginning, all of these little words there, the Spirit of God there was, I'm going to use the green. It says, what? What does it say? Hovering. It's hovering. What are we doing here? What is he doing here today? What is the Lord doing this weekend? He is hovering. I do hope so that he is hovering. He's brooding. He's hovering. He's trying to make us all alive. He's trying to give us life. The Spirit of God is hovering. This is wonderful. So what are we doing in the church life? We are hovering. By the Spirit of the living God, we are hovering. We are not just teaching the Bible or just sharing something. No, it has to be full of life. The church must be full of life. for over 40 years, I've been emphasizing this point, hammering in. I have a hovering hammer. It's the life, life, and life, and life. It's not the doctrines, it's not theology. That doesn't mean that we don't care for the truth of the Bible. But you really need to see the hovering spirit, the hovering spirit to give life. And this is God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not a kingdom if it's not of life. Satan's kingdom is darkness and death. But the kingdom of our Lord is light and life. That's why, let's go to John chapter 1. Yeah. Mm. 我们来看约翰第一章. The same thing here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, because God is a speaking God. Is a speaking God. All the idols, they are dumb idols. But our God is a speaking God. Look at the human beings. What do you do every day? You speak. Why do you speak so much? You know, because your speaking is your expression. Whatever you're thinking, if you don't speak, nobody knows what you're thinking, right? However you feel, if you don't speak, you don't have a speaking mouth, you don't have a mouth, nobody knows what you're feeling, right? How are you, Mike? How long did you drive? Was it a good trip? What time did you leave? If you don't speak, nobody knows anything. But our God is a speaking God. This is why you have a living book. The Word of God, the living Word, not the dead doctrine. But the living Word of God. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. And remember one of the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 19 is that His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Yes. Now, all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. Then immediately it says, in Him was life. Praise the Lord. In Him was life. This is the main thing about our God. He's the living God. Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. Look. Now, let us put this word hovering, which is life, life. Praise the Lord. And the life was the light. Now, so you have death and darkness here, right? The water is the water of death you have here. Because of judgment, there's death. Death comes in, right? So, now you have the Spirit of God bringing in life and light. Now, don't underestimate all these things here, because these are the basis of our fellowship in this coming weekend concerning God's kingdom. So in the New Testament, when John the Baptist came, what did he preach? Let's read Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for salvation is at hand. No? Are you there? Are you following the scriptures? Are you following me? What did it say there? The first preaching was the preaching by John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, saying, repent, for salvation is at hand. Is it? No, John? Nope. What did it say?
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
The kingdom? What is more important, salvation or kingdom?
The kingdom.
Why is it important?
Because he says so.
Let me tell you, that's right, because it says so. But because the kingdom is God's goal. I'm not trying to despise the salvation the Lord has brought with him, but remember, the goal is the kingdom. If John the Baptist says, repent, for salvation is at hand, then I would put the emphasis on salvation, and all of us would. But when John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Now you tell me, among so many Christians today, who cares for the kingdom? Who? Praise the Lord. But why just you? How about the rest? How about the so many Christian friends you have? What about in the many groups you have visited before? Do they really care for the kingdom? What in Colossians chapter 1 says, praise the Father who has what? Transferred us out of the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So where are you? Are you sure? Are you sure you're in the kingdom? Or are you just saved? Saved into a denomination? Saved into some kind of a Christian group? Where are you transferred to? Oh, Lord Jesus. Right? Amen. May the Lord really. Anyway, we just leave it as that. You can read it yourself. Right. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Out of the authority of power of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is what God wants us to be, where God wants us to be. So today, especially when the Lord is coming back soon, I hope that in all of your heart, you will have the hope for the kingdom. Because in His second coming, He is going to establish the kingdom of righteousness and peace on this earth. And if we are ready for His coming, then we will reign with Him. We will be co-kings with Him. We will be those sitting with Him on His throne to rule over the nations. But if we are not faithful today, we will have no part in the kingdom. Yes, you're saved. You will have to wait until the end of the millennial kingdom. Right? So, it is very necessary for us today to pray, Lord, I don't want to miss the coming kingdom. Help me. Prepare me for the coming kingdom. You have to pray for that. Because so many people, they don't care. Because in their mind, they're just going to heaven somewhere. They're going to heaven somewhere. They were not taught that you need to be prepared to be ready to be mature in life, to be trained today to rule with Christ. You cannot even rule your own household properly. Sometimes we cannot even rule over our little room in our home. How can you rule over Toronto? You want to rule over Athens? Oh, it's a chaotic place. Is it easy to rule? No, definitely not. So the Lord has to train us by His life. The Lord has to help us, to transform us, to change us, even to save us by His life to the uttermost, so that when He comes, we'll be ready. You think it's easy to be a doctor? Once your child is born, immediately he's a baby doctor. I cannot be. And he's got to kindergarten, elementary school, high school, university, pre-med, and then med school. And then after med school, he has to go for further studies. He has to do internship, and then he has to specialize. Then perhaps, if he's a hard-working fellow, he'll be a good doctor. Right. How many years is that from the time he's born to the time he's a doctor? Oh, almost 30 years of his life. And that is with specific training program. From preschool, kindergarten, first grade, elementary school, high school. It's a program. What about our Christian spiritual program? What are you being trained for? You sure? Yeah. And how are you being trained to rule? By the Spirit, day by day. You have to learn to listen to Him, to follow Him, to know what is in His heart. Not just to follow traditional Christianity and what other people say. No, you have to know what God says. This is important. When Jesus was on this earth the first time, everybody was listening to that chief priests and elders and high priests and the scribes and Pharisees. They thought they know everything. They're misleading everybody. They have to be listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in us today. If you have not learned to listen to the indwelling Christ in you, but listening to pastors, elders, teachers, I don't know what, to ministers and whatever ministries, but you never learn to listen to the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, the holy anointing teaching you, then one day when the Lord comes back, you will say, Lord, I was listening to brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so holding conferences every year, and all the time I was there. And the Lord says, why don't you listen to me? I dwell in you. Who was your life? Your pastor is your life, or am I your life? Oh, you tell me, sister, who is your life? Your pastor? The priest somewhere? The minister somewhere? That famous guy somewhere in the TV? Or who is your life? The Lord is your life. Then the Lord will say, why don't you listen to me? So surely who are you going to listen to? Everybody heard that, okay? Better do that. Listen to the Spirit of the Lord indwelling you, because He's the best teacher. He is really the only one sent by God to teach us all things and to rule within your life. Learn to listen to Him. If He says no, drop it. If He says do it, you do it. Don't say, but I've been there. It's hard for me to change. If He says change, you change. And if you are willing to do it, the Lord will supply you. He'll help you there. He will help you. He will supply. He is your life. What is a life for? Unless you're dead. Right. So this is very important. That is why, and that is for the kingdom. Life is for the kingdom. It's not just for you to be alive, you know. Hey, I'm alive. No, it is for him to rule within all of us so that we can be built up together into his kingdom today. Right? You know the Lord as your Savior, but you don't know the Lord as your King. What is the difference between Savior and a King? The Savior, you just have to believe in him. Okay, I believe him. And you're saved. There's your grace. Oh, but what about a king? You just have to believe in the king? Oh, what more? Obey. That's a good word here. You have to obey. How often do you obey him? Well, is he your king or not? What does it mean, he's your king? Obey him. And if you don't obey him, is he still your king? No. How can he be your king if you don't obey him? He's a powerless king. You think our Lord is just a king for nothing? He just wants the position and he doesn't care? Is he really your king? Now, is his throne up there in the heavens where nobody can reach? Or is his throne in your heart? Where is he king? Is he king in the heavens or is he king in your heart? Jean. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all need to say that, Lord, I want you to be the king in my heart. Otherwise, there's no kingdom. You remember those who came to the Lord and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. We're late, right? Open to us. The Lord says, I don't know you, ye workers of what? Lawlessness. Lawless. How can a kingdom be lawless? Do you want to live in a lawless kingdom? Athens was pretty lawless then. The whole country was pretty lawless, right? Everybody does what they want. I can do what I want, you can do what you want, and everybody can do whatever they want. So what is that? That's lawlessness. That's lawlessness. I wouldn't want to live in a country where everybody, anybody can do whatever they like. And this is dangerous. Now, how about the Christians today? So divided. No one can be one. You go your way, I go my way. I have my own meetings. You have your own meetings. And fighting all the time. And so much confusion today. You think this is God's kingdom? How about if Canada is so divided? Vancouver, British Columbia wants to be independent, do whatever they want. Of course you have. Which province now want to do whatever they want? Quebec, how about that? Are you all happy about it? What about Ontario? Ontario wants to have their own country. We want to have our own country and divide Canada into pieces. How about that? You think it's going to stand? No, it's not going to stand. Right. The Lord did say, a kingdom divided in itself cannot stand. And let me tell you, no religion and no faith is so divided on this planet like Christianity. And how can it be God's kingdom? Do you think God's kingdom is like that? God's kingdom is like that? No. Then where is it? You see, today we need to get out of this tohu-bohu situation. Get out of darkness. Get out of the abyss. Don't fall into any deep places. And don't fall into the dead waters. Get out of darkness then. Come into the light. Come into the life. You have to see that all of this is for God's kingdom. The church is not something that is just a group of Christians meeting together on Sundays. No. Let us come to Hebrews chapter 12 before we stop tonight. As an introduction for Genesis chapter 1. It says here in verse 22, but you have come to where? Mount Zion. Have you? Where do you meet? Where do you meet? Mount Zion. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. To the city of the living God, to the what? What kind of Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem. Have you been there? Or are you going there? Or are you there now? Maria. Huh? You have come. You are quite sure. Good. Congratulations. You have come. You better know where we are. Because if you don't, then what can I say? If I ask you, you are living in which country? Canada. Are you sure? Are you going to Canada or are you in Canada? Oh, we're in Toronto. Yes, you're very sure where you are. Now, if I ask you where you're meeting, are you sure it's Zion? Are you sure? Are you sure? S-U-R-E. Are you sure? You better be sure. If you don't know, you're not sure. That's not good. You need to know. You need to know what the church is, where the church is, where the practical meeting is, and be there. Because it says, but you have come. You have come to Mount Zion, praise the Lord, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Not just you and I meeting here. Are you thinking that we are just here tonight by ourselves? You're mistaken if you think we are just by ourselves here. It says to the general assembly and the church, praise the Lord. Mount Zion is the church. The church of the firstborn who are registered in the heavens, not just registered in the book of any denomination somewhere, to God, praise the Lord. This is a wonderful thing. Here is God himself, the living God, to God, not a preacher, but a judge of all, praise the Lord, to the spirits of just men, made perfect. Are you being made perfect here? Being brought to maturity? Are you just a just man? The spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And see, you do not refuse him who speaks. And then, verse 26, the Lord says, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Where is it written? It is a quotation from the book of Haggai. And this book of Haggai talking about the shaking, not only the earth, but the heavens, referring to the coming of the Lord. The Lord is going to come. Now, this yet once more indicate the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a what? Are you receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken? In the songs of ascent, they who trust in God, and the living God, is just like what? Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken or moved or removed. Wonderful. You know, after so many years in the church life, I'm today more convinced than ever before this is Mount Zion. Yep. So the Lord is going to shake and remove a lot of things. In this coming couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, you're going to see many more things that will be shaken. It's good to be shaken. We have to be shaken. Because we are very complacent. We all just take things for granted. Oh, yeah, what I've been doing for years is right. Now, who tells you is right? Have you tested it? You think you're right? Are you sure you're right? And how can you be sure you're right? Did the Lord tell you? Did you ask him? You have to ask the Lord. Because if the Lord didn't tell you, how do you know you are right? Are you seeking for the right thing? Or do you take for granted you're in the right thing? Right. I want to know whether I'm doing the right thing or not. And who's going to tell me? The Lord will tell me. I have to be open to ask the Lord, Lord, am I doing your will? Is this what I'm doing, your will or not? If I'm wrong, please enlighten me. Expose me. Shine upon me. Even, Lord, shake me up. Because we are a stubborn people, you know that. We are all very stubborn people. Hard to change, hard-headed. That's why it's called hard-headed. Stiff neck. We cannot turn. We don't want to turn. And the heart is hardened. Nobody likes to change. We like to stay in tradition. We like to do according to what we have done for many years. So why change? Right? Nobody wants to change. Oh, Lord, we are habitual creatures. We don't want to change, right? But praise the Lord. May the Lord make us so obedient to him. Obedient to him. Now, yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken as of things that are made. That things which cannot be shaken may remain. Praise the Lord. I like to tell the Lord, Lord, may you work something within us that cannot be shaken, that is solid, that is truth, that is eternal, not just something that is temporary. Right? Therefore, we, having received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You see, with regards to the kingdom, he is a consuming fire because he cannot allow everything. And what kind of a kingdom is it going to be? God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, is a kingdom of peace. Right? So salvation, yeah, okay, you know, there's a lot of forgiveness, okay, I forgive you, oh Lord, I take the blood, okay. That's not a consuming fire. But a consuming fire is not okay. It's different. It's a different aspect. Of course we need salvation. But salvation is not even just by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 says very, very clearly, by the blood we have peace with God, but much more we shall be saved by His life. The life is that factor that will save us day by day. Right. So, and this is God's kingdom. This is so that the Lord can rule within us, and we, through the maturity in this life, through the transformation, can be built up together so the Lord will have a kingdom to rule in. And when we are ready and His kingdom is ready, then the Lord will come. And for this reason, the Lord taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom, what?
Come."
In these days, you need to pray, "Lord, may Your kingdom come." And now you tell me, how is His kingdom going to come? You see? Now you know. This is the way His kingdom is going to be recovered. And in these 6 days of His renovating and recreation work, how the Lord is going to recover everything, you'll say, it is one day after another, just like the songs of ascends. You're ascending. You must go from day one to day two, day two to day three, to day four, day five, and day six. And I believe spiritually today we are in day six. We are in day six. So you better be ready. Every one of us, we have to be awakened. It's not just a conference, but it's a burden. It's a reality. We need to know the time where we are living and not to be complacent about it, not to take it for granted, not to think, oh, it's okay, the Lord is not coming back yet. Now, who says, right? In this coming few years, many things will happen. But then if you are caught unawares, then it's not good. Right? We need to wake up. It's a wake-up call. And we need to give ourselves to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm here, like the song says, for Your kingdom. Not just save me, but rule in me." Right? Rule in me. And Lord, we pray that our church life in every place, and people listening maybe to the live streams, they will realize also that we are nearing the coming millennial kingdom. Whoever is ready is ready. If you don't care, then you don't care. Right. So may the Lord help us. And especially the young people. Right. I'm not saying you shouldn't study anymore, or you shouldn't find a good job anymore, or have a family life, but that you need to put the kingdom of God and God's plan and purpose, His return, in the first place, has to be your priority. Because you don't want to miss the Lord's second coming and the coming of the kingdom. You don't want to do that. Right? May the Lord have mercy on us. So, praise the Lord. We started late today because of the traveling and work. So many of the saints are working. But tomorrow evening we start earlier, right? Okay, we have the schedule. Good. Praise the Lord.